Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's a new documentary premiering this Friday that looks at how much food we waste. It's a lot. One-third of all the food produced each year for human consumption is never eaten. That's about 1.3 billion tons of food waste every year. Here's a clip from the documentary where Chef Dan Barber says one way to help solve this problem is to come up with recipes that turn food waste into popular dishes, like bouillabaisse.
Fishermen's wives took the damaged and unsellable fish, and they created a big stew of all this reject fish and called it a bouillabaisse, prosciutto di Parma. That pig is a waste-fed pig, but you don't call it waste pork. That's why these dishes become so important, because they're not sold as waste. They're sold as what they are, which is delicious dishes.
The documentary is called Wasted, The Story of Food Waste, and it's hosted by chef, author, and CNN personality Anthony Bourdain, who joins us now. Anthony Bourdain, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, you say in the beginning of this film that you are not an advocate. So how did you come around to doing this?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of being an advocate. I don't like to be certain of anything or present myself as certain of anything or adhering to any orthodox view on anything. I'm a doubter by nature, but this is an area, this is an issue that goes fundamentally against my instincts as a long-time working cook and chef, where we were taught from the very beginning that one just does not and cannot and must not waste food. And I heard of the project. They pitched it at me. And at first I was like, oh, man, I'm really not the right guy for this. I don't want to make something that's preachy, or I don't want to do that. But the more I thought about it, not just my experiences as a chef and how it goes against everything I believe on a cellular level, but I thought about all of the people that I have seen and come to know over the last 17 years traveling around the world and eating, and how people struggle for food every day in so many of the places I go, and how much they make with so little, very proudly and generously, and how delicious food can be even in places where they have so little to work with, and how important those principles and techniques are to even the classic French gastronomy and Italian gastronomy that I grew up with and love. So that really got me and informed my decision to jump into this thing with both feet.
Well, one of the amazing statistics in this film is that more than 90% of our food waste in the U.S. goes into a landfill.
Yeah, I mean, it's a grotesque, particularly, and it's willfully wasted in many cases, and needlessly or negligently wasted in others.
So what can people do when they watch this? I was wondering, can I do anything, or is this something that the big, you know, food industry, the companies are going to have to do in order to stop throwing away so much perfectly good food?
Well, I think we can, you know, it begins in a sense with how do we value the things we eat? You know, it begins with just starting to pay attention to how much food you're buying, how much you are actually using, what you were doing with it. Simply by thinking about your home cooking in a way that professional chefs think about restaurant food, meaning, you know, when you order food for the evening, because profit margins are so narrow in the restaurant business, the chef has always had to think, what happens if I don't sell all the chicken? What will I do with the leftovers? How will I make something delicious that I can sell that people will want and desire the next day? If you think about food when you shop in that way, if you think also about all of the parts of proteins and vegetables that we don't currently use that are in fact quite delicious, in many cases more delicious than the things we attach artificial value to, that's a start. And then demand more of our retailers. You know, it is shocking that, you know, we expect of our chain supermarkets that they have these towers of perfect-looking, highly perishable produce there. You know, they put a lot of that produce on the shelf deliberately to look abundant and for no other reason. They know that in order to maintain this look of abundance, this appearance of endless abundance, that they're going to have to throw out a significant portion of that. We don't need that. We shouldn't want it, and we shouldn't tolerate it.
When it comes, though, to eating all the parts of the animal, there are a lot of Americans who, you know, they're given pig's feet or chicken feed or something like that. That's not going to be something that they're going to want to eat. Do we have to get past that?
We are already getting past that as a nation. I mean, foods that we never valued even 20 years ago are now the dishes of the moment. I mean, I remember when I started cooking in the early 70s, bluefin tuna would be sold for cat food. Octopus was a garbage fish, a trash fish. Beef cheeks, you know, these things were considered pork belly. These are hot menu items now. In many cases, in order to eat the food, the ingredients and the traditional dishes that the poor used to have to eat in this country, you have to go to a hipster restaurant in Brooklyn and pay $32 right. for a plate. So this is not that much of a stretch. It's really a matter of marketing and inspiring people. And in a lot of ways, it's up to chefs and food leaders to convince people with a beautiful and delicious argument that this is what food can be. So many of the dishes we take for granted and love, we don't realize that these dishes originated, these recipes like pot-au-feu, coq au vin, escargot, the classic Italian Sunday gravy, you know, the red sauce ragout. These were dishes invented in incredibly hard conditions in rural communities where people had very, very little and were essentially solving difficult problems with creative solutions.
I want to ask you about something that is pointed out in this film, which is one American chef goes to a farm in Japan where they feed their pigs a special blend of leftovers instead of corn or soy. And he says, oh, this is the most delicious pork I've ever tasted.
Yeah. All the hotshot chefs want what are basically boutique pigs now. They want pigs with a specific, carefully managed flavor profile and textural profile. On the high end, a pig that is, you know, fed nothing but acorns in Spain, like the Spanish Iberico ham, that would be one rather luxurious example. But what the Japanese are doing is separating out edible waste and making pig food out of them, specifically to give particular pigs particular flavor profiles. And the Japanese are really enjoying this and willing to pay more rather than less. And, this points up one of many possible solutions or at least mitigating factors in this terrible problem we have.
But we're not doing that in the United States, really, right? Most of our livestock are eating corn and grains.
We are certainly paying a lot more attention on what our animals eat and what conditions they are raised. So it's not much of a stretch to see that as a possible future.
Do you expect that at some point we'll have laws in this country regulating food waste the way that there are in other countries?
Like in South Korea, where you are taxed or basically penalized, they monitor how much usable waste you're generating from your home, and you get a bill at the end of the month if you're being particularly wasteful. You know, animal protein, particularly fish and beef. I don't think these are ever going to get less expensive or particularly more plentiful. So it is inevitable if we don't get our act together. That sooner or later, in the face of dwindling resources and supplies, that there will be some sort of regulation. And that's fundamentally something that Americans hate, understandably. But, hopefully we'll never reach that point. You know, the way forward here is to eat better, you know, more delicious food, to enjoy cooking it and eating it more, not chaw away mindlessly at, you know, this seemingly endless supply of flavorless abundance.
It seems like another part of the answer here is just to get people to understand exactly what they're eating, to know where the food is coming from. And you focus in this on a school in New Orleans where the kids, you know, as is the case with Alice Waters' school out in California, where they mm-hmm. actually have to grow their own vegetables. They have to understand how it all works. But I wonder whether you think that is something that could be replicated around the country. I just think of Michelle Obama having the garden in the White House, and there were people making fun of that, you know, that she was doing that.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, I have noticed in my travels, I think anyone who works in a farming community, anyone who lives close to or is involved in the production of food, whether they're fishing, farming, raising beef, whatever, they're less likely to waste because they've seen it up close, how much work goes into it, what's involved. So I think even limited experience as a child, seeing where food comes from and what's involved, this is surely a good thing.
That's Anthony Bourdain, the chef and CNN host, and the host of the new documentary, Wasted, The Story of Food Waste. Anthony Bourdain, thank you.
Thank you. It was fun.
And the film comes out on Friday. We've got more details and a trailer at hereandnow.org.